Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. We have been on air now 8 years, and so this month marks our 8th birthday. And we have had a collection of supporters and people who broadcast on the program and people who've been involved in the programming over those 8 years coming in and celebrating together. And that was a very great thing to do. Not only was it just to indicate the milestone we've achieved, but it gave people a chance to see where we're located and what kind of a base we now have to work from, and our new building and the wonderful equipment and the state-of-the-art kitchen and space to use for such occasions where we need to gather together supporters and friends who are keeping the program on air. So it's a very proud moment and something that, you know, deserves to be acknowledged, because even though at times I may carry a big weight in terms of the presentation of programs, I'm not the only person keeping it all going. In fact, it wouldn't keep going if there wasn't people supporting in the background, and if there weren't the staff working at the station, and if people hadn't fundraised for 23 years to make sure that we actually had a building at this time in our history. I think it's fair to say that looking at the way things are going in the city, particularly commercial property and land, it would have been nigh impossible if people hadn't started back 23 years ago and put that regular money aside every week that was going towards a fund with the vision that one day we might be able to buy a building. And it was a very bold thing to do. It was a very big commitment, and it was an unusual one because most not-for-profits don't own their own buildings unless they have a very wealthy benefactor giving them money at a certain point in time. They don't generally get enough money together to take on a project like this. So it's been quite an amazing process getting into the building, and in terms of the location, the value of this site, it's going to only increase, and the locality close to the railway station and with very good bus routes makes it ideal for a lot of people having to travel into the city from a distance to make programs. And even with anti-congestion charges on the horizon and so on, with such good public transport in the locality, that access makes for, I think, a wide circle of people to be involved in the programming and not be shut out of the process. I mean, there may be travel distance involved, but at least it is doable, and it's fairly frequent. And I know from here I manage 3 buses toing and froing, but it's certainly a lot easier than it would have been if we had ended up in a much more fringe location. So our little celebration that we had this month was just the beginning, because we plan to get our supporters and broadcasters involved in this program together frequently, like 4 or 6 times a year over the next 12 months, because now we're not affected by COVID like we were. We haven't got lockdowns, and we haven't a building. We can move ahead and we can do these kinds of things. So actually having panel discussions, having people coming in, working with other organisations, there's a lot of opportunity for us to influence ideas, spread debate, and just do a whole lot of things that we couldn't even contemplate doing in the last 18 months. And I know it was very dicey at times. I made programs off my phone in the park, had to worry about the weather, if the wind was going to blow. You know, there were so many issues that it's a miracle we actually kept it all going. But thanks to, as I say, people in the background giving us encouragement and support, we have managed it. And so I give a big thanks to all those people who've put time and effort in, and encouragement and funding to assist us. And there will be challenges. It's not necessarily a smooth ride ahead. There could be all kinds of bumps in the road, but I think that now that we've managed to have that milestone gathering and celebration, I think we are on the road to really having something solid in terms of moving ahead for the next 12 months. And it's great to have younger people coming in on board who've got broadcasting training and skills, because they will be able to take on more of the programming and broadcasting roles in the future, and they are the future of this program. So bumping into them in terms of creating the dialogue with them about the senior community, even though they may not be seniors themselves, they're heading in that direction. And so it's very wonderful that they have this interest, that there can be intergenerational input, and they can strengthen the process with their dynamism and their tech savvy, digital savvy approach. They can support and generate so much more enthusiasm and come up with new ideas and new ways that we can be doing things. So it's thanks to a lot of people. I won't be naming anybody because that would be unfair. I would end up leaving someone out for sure, and I don't want to do that. So, but if anyone wants to lend a hand in any way whatsoever, we're always open to lots of input from people, even if they only just want to contribute to one program. If you've got an idea and you want to get it out to seniors, let us know. It's always possible to make contact with Planet through the website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, and to find Senior Focus, of course, you need to look up programs under S and you'll find Senior Focus. And so that means you can locate our archived podcasts. You can see our recent programs, click on some that you want to review or listen to, either for the first time or again. And you also have a point of reference if you want to communicate and ask us anything or follow anything up or contribute yourself. So please have a look at Planet's website. Now, we've had the aftermath of the election and the swearing in of the new government, and the Minister for Seniors is Casey Costello from the New Zealand First Party. Now, New Zealand First have produced some very good ministers for seniors in the past. Tracy Martin, one in particular, I think, made quite an exceptional minister in terms of her hard work and the efforts she put into the strategic future overview of looking at what seniors are going to be needing in the next 10 years and how we need to plan for a rapidly growing older population. So there have also been some of her predecessors who were from New Zealand First made quite an impact as well. But I think over the years, New Zealand First has had a tradition of supplying a Minister for Seniors, and they've been fortunate this time in being able to carry on with that. So we'll look forward to having an interview with Casey in the future, and we'll also want to speak to some of the key strategists that are influencing government policy or trying to in the area of catering for older people and their needs. And I'm thinking in particular the Aged Care Commissioner, Carolyn Cooper. I would like to interview her about her incoming briefing to the new government, because that will give us a steer as to what is actually being put up as best practice and the ideal of what they could be moving towards. And this will be something that we can then, as a voice for seniors, actually strengthen, and we can work with other senior voices of other organisations like Age Concern or Grey Power. So I'm interested to try and highlight what Carolyn's thoughts are. And there are other people in that category that I think will be worthwhile interviewing in the new year. I've just been looking ahead at the programming over the next 6 weeks, and some of it pertains to some of the conferences and senior forums and the Seniors Summit that have been held in the latter part of this year. Very interesting speakers and very interesting presenters who've got a lot of new ideas for us. So some of those people will be coming on, and we will also be running programs over Christmas and into the new year. So don't think that... this year. We'll be repeating some of those, and also, but as I say, we will focus on things that have come out of the Seniors Summit. Last week we had Dr. Judy Blakey, and I'm hoping to ensure we also get the ideas of an ECO, the not-for-profit that's interested in movement, dementia, and support for those who are caregiving for such people at home. And so I'm interviewing a researcher who's been doing work around what the needs of the older population who have dementia and difficulty in managing or getting through day-to-day living. And they're going to be on the program in a week's time. I'm just wanting to reflect on some advocacy that's going on at the moment with the Grey Power movement. People who are representing seniors in the various Grey Powers across Auckland. So there's 8 Grey Power organisations, or associations as they're called, and they were due to meet the mayor today to discuss the rates rises, the water care extra charges that are going up 20%, and the rates rises next year forecast at 13%, and also some of the cuts that are proposed as part of the budget shifts or changes that are going on that are in the 10-year plan. Just things that, like the congestion charges coming in, how they would impact on seniors that are forced to seek legal aid, legal assistance, or attend medical appointments in inner city suburbs, or the Auckland Hospital. Just how travelling across that cord to come into the city would impact on them, and what would be the best way to support them, because for many, 50% who live only on super, finding extra money to pay for these extra charges would be difficult, parking charges going up as well. And in some cities, there are seniors who have parking concessions. There are seniors who can get special arrangements for parking at hospitals, and certainly in overseas cities where they operate a cordon system to do anti-congestion charges, there are ways and means whereby through the number plate technology it's possible to allow seniors so many free transits across the cord that they don't pay for. So they would be exempt for so many trips a year. It's not unlimited, obviously, but that's one solution. So this group of people were going to have a conversation with the mayor about these kinds of issues, and also about, from the housing point of view, looking at the 150 one- and two-bedroom units that the council actually owns in Auckland, in the 14 own your own villages across Auckland, and the arrangements whereby people could purchase their own unit that was means tested, and it was an avenue for people who had very little opportunity to get out of paying high rents and going into older age, living on the pension, where the whole of their pension would be going on rent. This was one possible avenue of giving them greater security. Now, these units are destined to be sold, but not sold to owner-occupiers as they originally intended. And so this issue is something that needs urgent attention because of the housing crisis and the fact that we have seniors living in cars and in sheds and so on, and in damp basements and garages, unfit places, places they shouldn't be, that are not good for their health. And yet there are 30% of these 150 units are actually vacant. They have not been well maintained, and those that do own theirs and live in them, they have had their rights marginalised. So their agreement of ownership and rights and so on is all under question, given the council is selling its equity share in the Own Your Own scheme. So these are questions that are very much at the heart of Grape House advocacy right at the moment, and we will keep you updated on this. Trish Deans, who's the Vice President of the North Shore Grey Power, has written a very interesting article about this in the North Shore Grey Power latest newsletter. And I've asked Trish if she'll come onto the program next year. She's experienced in council matters. She has been a representative on a local board, on the Devonport-Takapuna local board, so she's well-versed with issues and will be a real asset both in her role for Grey Power and as an advocate in the wider senior community. This week I'll be attending a forum on the North Shore where people are going to be looking at positive ageing, what is happening in this space for seniors on the shore, and this will be complementary to the seniors summit that I attended 3 weeks ago. So by going along to these events, I'm in touch then with more and more people who are working to change things for seniors and can contribute to this program. So it's only by networking and being out in the community that we can have good quality material on air, that we can really improve this as a service to getting information out. One of the key things that's come through forums and discussion groups for seniors over this year has been not only is there a lack of information for people about issues, what to do, where to go to get information, but people are denied perhaps the capacity to find solutions or answers because of this general malaise of people not knowing. And even people you think would know don't necessarily know. And so even if you approach Age Concern or Grey Power with questions, they don't always know. And so it's like there are a lot of silos containing information, people working in the field, solving problems for seniors, but they're not necessarily well connected to each other. And that connectivity is what's lacking. Now, that used to happen through council advisors. Years ago, we had specialist council officers who worked in this and with the senior community, doing what the youth advisors do for youth these days. It's popular to fund things for youth, but there isn't the awareness of what seniors need and who should be funding it and how it should be set up. And that's one of the big issues to put to the new minister. It's something that we really have to draw attention to, because I think although there are very good strategies and communication as part of the strategic focus of the plan for improving things for seniors, the problem is that a lot of information is only in the digital space, and for some seniors that's a space they don't go to, they don't access. As well, it can be just another silo that it makes it more difficult. And that's where libraries come in. Libraries are really a great source of community connectivity. They are a community tool and asset that we would hate to see cuts affect their capacity to act, to be available, and not only just open for service, but to have skilled staff. And there has been some talk about volunteers running the libraries for certain hours of the week, volunteers replacing some of the researchers and some of the skilled staff, and I think this would be a real backward step in terms of catering for seniors' needs. And it's not just seniors themselves, but it's often their families who are trying to help them, trying to find what is the best way of improving their access to what they need in the way of information. And often libraries are the first port of call. So it's very important that we make sure there is wide understanding about the value of libraries as part of seniors actually achieving what is necessary and vital for their well-being for the future. another point that has been raised by Grey Power and other senior organisations is how we are at risk of losing our heritage and our history. And while we've talked about the buildings and the issue with the housing legislation and the proposed changes, what we haven't talked about much is museums. I know way back at the beginning of the year I mentioned the difficulties that we have in Auckland with the MOTAT funding and the Auckland Museum funding. They're funded by Parliament, Act of Parliament, and they're not part of council funding so much, but the council is obliged to fund a chunk of their expenses, and that's again coming through the Act of Parliament. So even though council funds quite a lot, council doesn't actually have input into what that funding does. So it's quite a difficult area, and there is a need to capture a lot of what we know about seniors, what seniors know about their history, and they're the living treasures. And we need to make sure their stuff is recorded and that we have their stuff on record digitally. And that needs effort, money, time and direction. And that seems to be somewhat lacking in these two institutions with regard to seniors. So that's an area of advocacy which is being worked on by Grey Power and others, and I just want to draw that to your attention. So in winding up for this session, I look forward to being with you next week, and we can hear more of the direction that came from the Seniors Summit. Thank you for listening.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
Obsessive and still a bit possessive over all the parts of your body.